We've had a mess of announcements, haven't we, here lately? That's what M stands for in May, mess of announcements, all right? And so that's what happens when you get all the things that we have, the college, the day school, and all the things trying to finish up. And it's a blessing to have all the different ministries, but it is that way. Or we could just take May and say mush. That's the way I felt before I was pastor. I felt like that May meant mush all y'all. Amen. That, you know, go pull as hard as you can and finish. I see the tape, the checker flag is waving. Just run to the finish line. Amen. And so we do feel that way. Galatians chapter 6, chapter 6, verse 9, we've talked about this, and tonight I just want to kind of have a home time. I know that this is our home crowd, and this is our workers, our teachers and our workers, and most of y'all will be here on Tuesday night, and I thank God for that. I thank you all for the work that you do. We'll say it again, but just let me say again in mind of this, and as we looked in the bulletin, if you read the bulletin article this week, just you know, one of the things at this time of the year we got to keep our mind focused on is let us not be weary in well-doing. Amen. So look at the verse with us tonight in verse number 9 of chapter number 6. And it's let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's a promise in Scripture for us if we'll keep on keeping on. Even in the hard times, there's some reaping that'll come from hard work and faithfulness. And many of us have seen that generation after generation after generation, year after year after year. And I believe the promise in God is still good. He's still keeping his promises. And if we just keep on keeping on another year, and we have trickled by, but we're here keeping on, keeping on. I never believed that we'd ever see a day where the whole world would want to shut down, go crazy, and put masks on their face. And then go crazy enough to double the mask up. All right. I mean, I didn't think there ever was anybody could get that crazy. And now they're going to, through peer pressure, try to force us to take this vaccine. Even in the paper yesterday, now they're saying, you know, it's okay if you take the vaccine, you can take your mask off. Well, that made sense a long time before they said it.
Amen.
All right. And, you know, it made sense to me when we had those doctors up here and preacher put them on the screen that said, hey, if you keep the mask off, you'll build an immunity up to that stuff. Amen. Because that's what's nature. You know, usually we quarantine sick people, all right, not healthy people. Now, we're going way back. I mean, I know y'all can't remember that far back when we were just living in that foolishness. Amen. But if we're not careful, I mean, even Brother Mullen said they started doing that again in Chile. They shut the whole place down again. And it all boils down, and I know we're all tired of hearing about it, but I'm just here to tell you, you know, there'll be some things that if we're not careful, you know, we can look back, and I've been reading and just seeing some things about that. I mean, stuff, I was a young kid in the 70s, and that I think like in the early, you know, late 70s when the swine flu came out, and they forced through a vaccine that messed a lot of people up that took it, folks. And I don't go back that far, but I can, history does. And we can read, and they even had video cameras back then. And there are some people that never were the same taken. And I'm not trying to scare folks out of taking the vaccine. I'm sure there must be at least one good one. Amen. Yeah. But I'm just here to tell you, you know, we got to be careful and be wise. You don't just take anything that people give you, folks. You know, I mean, you wouldn't even go. I'm off point tonight, but let me just go ahead. All right. And just tell you, most of you would shop more for the car than you have for the vaccine you're going to let them stick in your arm. Amen.
Amen.
And the car that God gave you, this body that he gave you to carry on throughout and do his service and work and live in it, you know, you want it to last longer than the car you're going to buy. Amen. And so I would read and study and know that I'm doing right before I ever had them do anything to me. Amen. Now, you know, weary and well-doing. Well, we could get that way, couldn't we? If we let ourselves. Now, Joshua comes to a place, and I just want to be real tonight. I just want to talk to you. I really believe we get to this time of year, and if we're not careful, we'll get weary. We'll get wore out. We'll get wore down. And some of the things I think in the scripture, one of the things that helps us is to look at the victories that God's given us. To look back and see that, you know, God's brought me through all these other things. God helped us through these things, and He took care of it. He not only provided the strength for it, but He took care of the money for it. He took care of all these things, and if God is faithful in the past, He'll be faithful for the future. But one of the things that's key, and we're going to find in Joshua chapter 4, is that one of the things that, you know, I've been guilty of this, and I believe some of you men have been guilty of this, you know. You get to work and you get so busy and you feel like you got so much to do. After you get done with something, you throw your tools on the bench instead of cleaning them up. Amen. Instead of putting stuff back in order after you're done and setting maybe some markers of what you just did, you just move on to the next thing. And the next time you come along, rather than being excited about what you accomplished in the past, you got the remnants of all the leftovers laying everywhere. And your tools are dirty when you get started rather than being clean. And I think here after we preach this morning, and I know a lot of you were, maybe you didn't get to hear the sermon or talk about it. We just made some references to Jordan's crossing with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Old Testament ark with the New Testament ark of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about some points in the scripture there this morning. And again, not to re-preach it, but in chapter 4, there's a carry on of this. Now that they've already passed over, they've already gone over. But in chapter 3, he makes some statements about these 12 men. He separates out 12 men, but he doesn't tell you what those men are for. But after they've all crossed over and these Levites, these priests are still standing in the midst of Jordan, you're going to see Joshua command the 12 men to go back down into the river. And I want to read the scripture to you tonight. I want to just be very fast. Let's pray and ask the Lord tonight to help us. And again, we'll preach a message by what mean ye by these stones? What mean ye by these stones? Dear Lord, I thank you tonight for all that you've done already today. The people that were saved on the property, those that came and made public profession, those that joined our church by statement and will by baptism. God, I pray that there are many others that you're working in their hearts even now, God. I pray that if there's one that's in the building tonight that needs to be saved, I pray that they'll turn to Christ tonight and be saved. I pray if there's one that needs to come to you in baptism, that tonight would be the night that they come in obedience to the command of Jesus Christ and they're baptized and join the local church. But God, I'm preaching to a lot of folks that, we're not weary and well-doing yet, but if we're not careful, if we don't look at the markers that have been laid out by generations or even some of the things that we've seen done in our own lives, the victories, God, help us tonight to be encouraged from your word. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men when he had prepared the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and there are there unto this day." I want you to see two things that happen in the passage. One of them, God says, listen, I want to do something for you. I want to encourage you. I want your children to know that this day took place. This miracle of the water standing up on their end, the miracle that happened that you walked over on dry ground. I want the generations to come across these stones, these memorials that you've set up, and say, What mean ye by these stones? It is important that we teach the next generation what has happened in the past. Not just in our history as a country. I believe that this is a church that loves the old red, white, and blue. Old glory, the U.S. of A. We bleed for this country, and I love this country. But more than that, we need to be teaching spiritual truths and all, not just the history. One of the things that Pastor and I talked about as we made the transition is in the old tower building, taking one of those floors and making a memorial unto the things that have happened in the past, so that when we can take our kids up there and say, what mean ye by these stones? What mean ye by these pictures? What mean ye by these things? Because they need to understand that they didn't just happen. People didn't just walk up and give us things. Things had to be worked for. Things that people had to sweat. People had to give sacrificially for things to happen. And when the people of Israel, listen, this is something that God did for them. They watched and he magnified Joshua in their eyes as they crossed over, but they crossed over against Jericho. And friend, they were going to walk seven times around, and they were going to go round and around and around Jericho, and they were going to watch. I'm just telling you tonight, they were going to watch the walls fall down, but then the work started. They had to go in there and fight. This was going to be the first of 10 major battles that the Israelites were going to face. Listen, there were groups that still had to go back over Jordan after the warring was done, after all of the tribes had divvied up all the land. There were people that were going to pass back by, and generations will have been born on the way and in the fight, and they're going to pass back over these stones and go, what mean you by these stones? First of all, I want you to see that these aren't little tiny pebbles. God chose men, and not some just, you know, teeny bony, No, nothing of a man. I'm sure he said, when he said, look out a man, he didn't know what the job was going to be, so he picked him a man. Amen. And he said, when you get in there, pick up a rock and put it up on your shoulder. You know why they didn't carry it like that? Because it was a big rock. He put it up, and they had to come up out of the Jordan with that rock on their shoulder and bear it before him, because they wanted, this was for a memorial, folks. It wasn't some tiny rock that was going to get covered up with a little bit of dust. They carried a boulder up out of there, and they laid 12 of those jokers out, and those stones were kind of a broken up pillar, and there are 12, and Israel could say, hey, this must mean something. There's 12 of these rocks, and there's 12 of our tribes. Now, what do you mean by these stones? Why'd you put these up? I want you to see they did this in obedience to God. You know, I don't know what it is in your life that you need to set a memorial from, but I see, and I've looked across this auditorium tonight, and there's a bunch of little kids. And without a doubt, in your home somewhere, there's a baby book that's got their name on it. Unless you're like us, after the first three, we quit that foolishness. Amen? Amen. Amen. Maybe you're better at it than I was. I mean, I don't know. We have pictures of the first one. We got so many pictures of the first one, and not so many of the second one, and even less of the third one. And then I think the fourth one's name is Caleb. But anyway, so amen and amen. But isn't that how it is when we come to things like that? And I mean, we cut hair and stick hair in the book. I don't know what that's a memorial of. Amen. Maybe because, especially for the girl, but for me, it was that, you know, look, I had hair at one time. It's a memorial. And we can go back and enjoy those things. But you know, when we go through some of the stuff, I know as a maintenance guy here a long time ago, I remember going into some places, and when I wanted to fix something or tear something out and put a brand new thing in, I usually got a story of where that came from and why it was staying there. Because somebody's hard work and sweat went into that. And when I saw that, it didn't mean as much to me. But I heard, when I said, why are we leaving this here? I was saying, what mean you by these stones? See, some of you all think that we just, you know, well, some of that stuff, it don't mean nothing. It means something around here. There's some things that we have and we leave in places. You go to camp and there's a little memorial, and it ain't one of the first cabins, because I think one of the very first ones, a tree fell on. They tried to keep that thing. But there's one as best as we could keep it preserved out there, and people don't sleep in it no more. We got better cabins than that one. But it's a memorial to what they started with. They just cut a bunch of palm logs down and threw them together and had family camp out there. And the government wanted to fight them about that. And they stood against that. Hey, we could say, we could go down to this tower building. And I'm here to tell you, we just recently saw some video out of the archives, amen, that I didn't even know existed. And it was good to see that. It was good for me to see those stones. I sat this Friday night, I sat inside the tower on the ninth floor, and I sat there and I looked around, and I just looked at the recent work that was done and changed the place. But I thought, I wonder what this looked like the first time they came in here. I wonder how many pigeons they had to run up out of this place. I wonder how much pigeon poop they had to, I can say that, that's all right. So how much pigeon poop they had to scoop out of this place. I wonder how many young boys thought they broke their back picking up them old radiators that were up in that building and throwing. I bet they had the time of their life throwing them things out the windows. Like they killed about 10 men probably on the way down. Hey, I'm just telling you, you know, we don't always think about that, but when we go through that town, I guarantee you there are some saints of God that spent night after night after night working in that place. Making it, listen, when I drive by it, I see something that's a memorial to God, but I'm on the other side of it. Some people were the ones that set that stone in place. Some people had to, I mean, listen, I still can go up to the floors that didn't get finished yet, where some people that are still in this building tonight wrote their names, and had they gone one more floor, they'd have done that room too, for the glory of God. Amen and amen. See, we need markers. We desperately need markers. Hey, dads, I'm thinking about this. You know, when we, you know, some of the things that we want to pass on to our kids and we're proud of. Man, we, you know, I've still got my Letterman jacket somewhere laid up in the back. I can dust it off and say, see, I did play football. One time I was in shape. Amen. And I can show you all the pins that I earned over the years for wrestling and for football and all the things that I did in my high school. And those things are memorial. A woman will put up her wedding dress so that people can see it, because it was memorial that that happened. That there was an event and this was special. It took place. And those things are all around us. We sit in one of the memorials of this church. I sit here and we talked about all kinds of things and we put the lights in and these men got it bright in here and we saw how dirty the vents were. And we cleaned them this week. Amen. I'm just telling you, I look at this auditorium. It didn't just happen. It didn't just boom and it showed up. And it's so old hat and we show up just like it's always been here. It hadn't always been here, folks. I've heard the stories about a little church that started down the road here. And they resurrected a bus and they started hauling people in. And they had an explosion of growth because people were getting saved. And they needed a building and people gave sacrificially. And they built a building. And then when it got too, they got too big for this building, they blew the walls out on it. When I stand on the side and I look at the piers that hold the roof up on this place. Listen, if you went up, you may not sit underneath of that thing if you went up there. Yeah. Amen. And I mean, this is a memorial to what was done. Listen, I've been in a lot of churches and a lot of churches that are not nearly our size. And they come in here and their eyes get this big. But it gets old hat for us. Because the building, I didn't work for it. I just came here. I didn't see all that. I've heard tell of weddings that happened in this building when plastic was hanging on the sidewalls. Why? Because people cared about the work of God. They weren't worried about how nice the auditorium was. They were worried about people getting saved and having a place to sit in God's house. These memorials, these are all outer memorials. We could go through the list. How about the high school property? The miracle offering that it took to get that orange grove. And you may not think, you drive past here, you don't think, we've got pictures of pieces of the orange grove still left out there. And they plucked them trees up around here. And I mean, in a couple Sundays, they raise the money to buy the property so that, and we walk over there and we don't, and I listen, there's a lot of people that we bring in here and they remind me, they say, what does this mean? Or what is this? And they, I mean, they can't believe I had the preacher that preached camp this summer. I was out showing him everything and I got out of the vehicle and he said to Tyler, how in the world do you take care of all this? He's a nationally known preacher. But he had never been here. And I mean, he was just, and I said, let's go look at this. He's like, you got more? Amen. There's more than this? I said, yes, sir. We got a camp. What? Yeah, that's where you're preaching this week. Oh, you know, I mean, he is just stunned, man. He had never seen nothing like this. And I think about the miracle offering. I remember when I was in college and we needed a catch-up offering. And I've been in those boys, you boys that go down to the dorms and think you live in the slum. I remember when it was that. I spent a summer putting carpet in that place. I remember when there wasn't any closets in the dorms. They were just pieces of pipe across the wall to hang stuff on. Why? It wasn't because it was wrong. It was because people cared about you. People gave sacrificially to get the tower put up at our tower site and revamped back then. I remember a preacher talking about a ketchup offering. You remember that preacher? You come up and he brought a ketchup bottle up there. And I mean, he likes ketchup and it was good preaching, amen. And we just needed to catch up. And God's people gave and we caught up. Listen, it ain't always been easy, folks. It doesn't just always happen. Most of the time, the people that God uses is God's people. And if we're not careful, we'll set up memorials for our children about all the wrong things. We'll mark all the stages of their life that will blow by and are meaningless in eternity. But the eternal things of this life, we make small things. Now, I want you to see this, and then we'll try to, I'm going to turn to a passage and we'll finish up tonight. But he not only, Joshua does something that God doesn't command him to do. He goes past, God says to take these stones for memorial for God's people. But Joshua gets down in there and he takes 12 big stones. Look at the scripture again with me now, and I want you to see it in verse number 9. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. And this is God's word and God speaking, and they are there unto this day. Now, I don't know if we went over there, I don't know if we'd find 12 big stones on that side of Jordan still up where they are supposed to be at. Where God told them, you know, because any man could come by and say, I need this rock and haul it off and put it somewhere in their yard. And that memorial could have been torn down, but there was a memorial set up in the base of Jordan that's there unto this day. And that memorial was something that man couldn't see, but God could see. It was in the inside of Jordan. It was in the place that they walked across on dry land. And Joshua said, listen, I know you want me to put one up for them, but God, I'm going to put some things up in memorial for you. Listen, as we train our children and even as we grow in the faith ourselves, we ought to put up some stones on the inside of our lives. There ought to be some markers. For the Christian, there ought to be a marker of salvation in your life. Amen. There ought to be a marker of baptism, the time that you know that you got saved and you followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And even in Sunday school, we've been talking about 1 Peter and add to your faith. There's so many things that we need to add to our faith and ought to be markers. There ought to be some things. My dad can tell you the night after he got saved, after he got baptized, he still battled with them old cigarettes. And I remember he walked the old aisle and he left the cigarettes on the altar, kind of like the preacher wanted them. I don't think he picked them up, but I mean, he left them down there. That was a milestone for him. He's got that locked away on the inside of him. And he's like, listen, God, help me get over something I didn't ever think I could give up. Something I never thought. And across the crowd tonight, I guarantee you there are people in this room that have struggled with all kinds of problems, and God took it from you. You took and gave it to him, and he kept it for you. And that ought to be a stone of remembrance in your life. You ought to be able to tell your kids, hey, God has got power not just to save me, not just to baptize me and give me assurance of my salvation, but there's some things that God took from me that I couldn't give up myself. Amen. And I'm different now. I'm not the same man I used to be. There ought to be daddies in this room that be able to tell their kids, yes, I used to have an awful temper, but I gave it unto God. And now, listen, I don't get like that anymore. I'm not that brawler that I used to be. I'm not the same anymore because of what God did in my life. Amen. He changed me. Hey, folks, there's some stones that we need to build up. I believe one of those stones that your children ought to see is a giant pillar of faithfulness. I believe, that's one thing that every one of us can be, is faithful. We just got to be faithful. People all around us are looking for something inside of us. But you know, even for us, what I want God to see when he looks down, not just the faithfulness to the local church, that's something we ought to be. But every man can see that. But every man can't see me in my prayer closet being faithful to God. Every man can't see me when I'm faithful in my devotions to God, when I read the book. But God sees that. Listen, God was looking down, and even today, God can look down, even when I'm preaching the message, and God can look down through the waters of Jordan, and that's a hard job to do, to see through that mucky mess, and see those stones piled up that Joshua left there for not a memorial to his people, but to God. And I want God to look down and see a difference in Barry Parsons. I want him to look down and see what his son did on Calvary for me. And that I'm not the same as I used to be. That I got in the tank in obedience and that I followed in step of obedience. And then daily I want him to look down and to see me in faithfulness in prayer. And faithfulness in my Bible study. I want him to see me faithful to my family. And faithful to the values that are showing up in this book. Not that every other man can see it. Not because I have to, because it's going to make me successful, but because it's going to honor and be a memorial to an almighty God who did not have to send his son to die for me, but he did it for me anyway. Amen. Hey, folks, I'm just here to tell you, I don't know about you, but there are some things we ought to hold on to. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10 and we'll finish tonight. And you may not think that this fits in here real well, real tight, but that's all right. This is what God gave me. It'll be for somebody and help somebody in the building tonight. Luke chapter 10, we find Jesus. I think we got to find Jesus. Amen. And when we find him, we're always going to be better off for it. Luke chapter 10, and we find here Jesus speaking. Luke chapter 10, and I mean, he's going to say some things. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. In chapter 10, verse 17, we see that the 70 are returning. They've been out and witnessing. He sent them out by twos, and they're returning to Jesus, and they got some joy. And he's going to tell them, they're going to start making markers of things. They're trying to set memories. And Jesus is going to speak to them and say, no, don't joy about that. Joy about this. Don't get excited about this. Get excited about this. Look at it, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. You say, well, that kind of seems like it's out of place. If you read the chapter, you may think that's out of place, but Jesus was trying to let you know just how old he is. He's been around forever. No beginning and no end. Mark her down, my friend. He remembers the day they booted him out of there. He remembers the day that they sent him packing. He says, behold, in verse 19, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's speaking to the 70 now. Verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He goes through all the things and all the power that a man could receive to bind things and not be hurt and to have power over spirits. And I mean, we could go through the list of things. He even tried to, I think he qualified the power that he gave him, saying, I beheld Satan dropped out of heaven like lightning. He's trying to qualify that he had the power to give them power over any enemy. All right? And then he says, but the thing you, don't rejoice in the power that you have. Don't rejoice in how much strength you have as a believer or what you can do with the power that you have. Just thank God. Because the power that no man had but Jesus Christ, that your name is written in heaven. Amen. Nobody could pen that down. There's only one man that could go there and write your name down in heaven, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on and says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Listen, I wanted to try to bring this, and the reason I went here tonight, I just want you to understand that. Don't ever get and think puffed up. He didn't say, well, you know, you got it because you were wise. You got a hold of it because how smart you were and you figured it out. He says here, he thanks God. He thanks God for the ones whose name were written in heaven. He thanks God for this group that God had given him, that God had sent him. He said, these babes, he calls them. He said, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight. You know, God, there are some people that think it's popular to preach that God doesn't look down on the affairs of men. But there's way too much Bible that says my Heavenly Father is watching. Amen. And that he's paying way more attention than anybody gives him credit for. Amen. To what happens in the daily lives of his people. Not only in salvation, but the intricate things that you go through day to day. And he comes through all these things. And even in this same chapter, he turns after all these things. And in verse 23, and he turned unto his disciples and said privately. He almost whispers it to his own. He's in a crowded group. He doesn't want to say it to everywhere. There are lawyers in the group that are going to try to catch him and use his words and twist them. But he turns and says, blessed are the eyes which see and the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. He's speaking of himself. He's talking about the church of the living God. Do you realize that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost? And not only did he lay down his life and purchase it, but he left him a church. In every other age of man, God had set up the family and government. But here, he's speaking to his church. Amen. And he's saying, there have been prophets that prophesied about this time. And there are people that wanted to see this age that you get to live in, this age of grace. This time period that we take for granted each and every day of our lives. But we're not better than the Old Testament saints. We still need to leave markers for our kids. Sometimes we look and we see, well, we lost this generation. No, they just didn't have markers left for them. We got the work done. We finished the work, but we didn't put up the tools. We finished the work, but we forgot to go back and put the flag in the ground. You know, this is up for debate with many of us, I guess. But, you know, we went to the moon. Amen. All right. And they left some things behind as a marker of who made it first. Why? Because they wanted anybody else that followed up to know that we were there first. Amen. They left some things behind and left some markers. You know, they've done that through history. The people that discovered a land stabbed the old flag in the ground and left some markers for people. I just want to tell you this. Listen, I'm thankful that I'm on a path that other people have marked. That old story of Hansel and Gretel. They dropped the wrong things on the ground. The birds liked that bread, didn't they? Came by and ate it up. I want to leave things behind that are lasting things. That when others that come behind me, my children, my children's children, if God chooses to leave me here, they'll be able to see those things. And they'll know what they mean. Or as I walk with my... And I said this morning, I'm not, you know, if God tarries is coming, I'm looking forward to grandkids. I really am. But I'd rather Jesus come back. Yeah. But if he tarries is coming, I'm looking forward to being able to walk my grandkids around and say, I got to work on that. Let me tell you, there's some men that aren't with us anymore tonight. That are in the building. And I'm not sure that the world was worthy of some of those men. That sacrifice and gave, and nobody called them preacher. Yeah. Some of them weren't called deacon. But there are men that love God's church, and they gave of themselves, and they gave with their families, and they sweated every time we needed a man to come out and work. I can't tell you. I remember just, Pastor, it had been a long time since preacher ever really called on our men, and we decided to sod the chapel while I was in college. And we had enough men to eat that grass. They were everywhere. We had it laid. And sometimes people got a little zealous, but I mean, we had it laid in quick order. Because of the men that came out that wanted to be a part of God's work. I'm thankful to be a part of that church, but men, don't come out without bringing your boys with you. You may think they're going to get in the way, but it's better to have them and hold, keep and watch over them and get a little bit done, but them to see what's important to Daddy. It's important for them to see the work of God and to be knee-deep in it, because one day you're not going to be able to work it anymore. And what you've instilled in them will last on. If the church is going to have a generation of men to work, it's going to come from the boys that are in this room tonight. It'll be the ones that we win. It'll be our sons and our daughters. It'll be the generations that come behind us. And we need desperately to leave stones behind for the next generation. Don't be so busy in the work that you forget to leave something behind for those that'll come behind you. Listen, I'm here to tell you, every generation, what is the old man, the story about the bridge? What are you doing in the twilight dim? There's a young man following me. That young man in the dark, he may not see this hole that I saw, this great divide. So I built this bridge for him. Hey, folks, I'm thankful that I'm a part of a work that's left markers everywhere, all over the place. And I can point to those things, but I know in my generation, I want to work and see God work, and I want to be faithful to leave markers for the next generation to come in case Jesus tarries his coming. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me tonight? Preach to our home, folks. We talked about the Lord Jesus tonight. You know it's only him that can save. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you step out and believe in his name, trust in what he did, his death, burial, and resurrection upon the cross of Calvary, and then rose again to sit at the right hand of God. If you're here and you're a daddy, a mom, and you feel burdened to leave some stones behind, why don't you come and talk to God about it? It'd be a good night for you to come and pray with your family. The music has begun. Don't wait for someone else. Step out and come and do what God asked you to do tonight.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence day. My blessed Savior, I
want you to be seated tonight. We have something to share with you.